C1P. Number 7A.
To the next subtone in that overall tone of truth, namely truth as principle. And we are going to see what kind of dominion we should exercise when that dominion reflects principle. And here you see it very easily. The epitome reads, man's God-given dominion over error, that's truth, rests on, and now you come to principle, on divine authority, on God's law. The accent is on God, not on law. That's the divine authority, God's law. Well, this is an interesting part, and I just tried to reason along the way Mrs. Eddy reasons. You see the very first marginal heading is benefits of metaphysics. So she touches now the authority of metaphysics, and this is her reasoning. She says, the body is only affected by disease produced by a mind ignorant of the truth which claims disease. So again, she starts out usually first by saying, why is the body sick? Why are people sick? Well, they are only sick because if there is a mind, small m, which is ignorant, can you hear? Which is ignorant of what? Of the truth, small t, which chains disease. So therefore her remedy would be not to be ignorant about the truth that chains disease. Well, not to be ignorant means that we have to know something else, namely metaphysics. Therefore she says, therefore we need metaphysics, because metaphysics is that which is above ignorant mind. It's a metaphysics that is showing us the ideational universe. And so she goes on and says, only the power of truth can prove man's dominion over error. So we have to know the truth, the metaphysical truth about any error. So here we get the need for metaphysics and the benefits from metaphysics. Then comes the next paragraph with that interesting marginal heading, a higher discovery. And that paragraph has always meant a lot for us, for the students of the science of Christian Science. Therefore, I like to read it to you. It says, many years ago, the author made a spiritual discovery. And you can see she speaks about the discovery that has to do with metaphysics and with principle, the scientific evidence of which, here again the point of principles, the scientific evidence of which has accumulated to prove, principle proves, that the divine mind produces in man health, harmony, and immortality. Then she says, gradually, this evidence will gather momentum. This scientific evidence will gather momentum and clearness until it reaches its culmination of scientific statement and proof. She wants to show that really what we have to drive at to reach the culmination of scientific statement and proof. And it's that which gives us an indication that she says, look here, you have not yet reached the culmination of scientific statement. You have not yet seen what the textbook really says. You have not yet seen the authority that lies really in the textbook. You have not yet really seen the divine metaphysics, the metaphysics of the divine principle that is hidden in the textbook. But she takes here it nearly as a prophecy that little by little it will gather momentum and clearness gather momentum, that there is a development taking place in understanding the statements, and therefore a momentum that gathers clearness, that it will become clearer and clearer what really Mrs. Eddy has stated in the textbook. This is against what usually the whole movement says, that says there is nothing more to be added, there is nothing more to be seen, everything is stated in the textbook. Now we know naturally that that is so, that everything is stated in the textbook, but that doesn't mean that we have discovered what is stated in the textbook. Reading the text does not make it understood. It needs really a different kind of approach, a different model of approach, in order to get the higher sense of the text. So she goes on and says, therefore, our authority lies in God and His law. She depicts that and says, God is the lawmaker, and that we have to abide by God's law, that we have God-given rights, and that therefore we have God-given dominion. So she deduces from principle, from God, the authority which we have to have dominion. That man's dominion is deduced from principle and from the authority of God. In contrast to that authority, she depicts the opposite belief, namely that laws of matter, which are supposed laws, that the laws of so-called mortal belief and the physical laws of health are actually no authority, that they lack divine authority. They only have the human approval for their sanction. And we have to see, can you see that she has now a comparison between the two kinds of authority. One is the metaphysical authority, which is deduced from the authority of God, and on the other side, the belief that matter and its laws and its beliefs have an authority. And so shows, no, they don't actually have an authority, though sometimes it seems they have. And if they have authority, why do they have authority? Because human belief sanctions it, accepts it as authority. Therefore, she says, let us therefore banish sickness as an outlaw. No more accept these false authorities. We must understand our way out of human theories relating to health, and never submit ourselves to an unjust decree, to an unjust authority. Therefore, let us abide by God's law, and we have the moral right to annul an unjust sentence, an unjust authority and its sentence. Yes, I think that's about how she depicts that whole point of authority. So we can see, what does she say? That there is an authority, but what are we going to accept as our authority that has real dominion? She says there is actually only one real authority, that of the metaphysics of the divine principle, and not matter and the laws of matter as our authority. Then she goes on to life, truth as life. Here again, another kind of dominion is presented. She presents now the dominion of life, that is the dominion of true fatherhood. And we have seen true fatherhood we have encountered that all through the Christianity chapters, that it is the fatherhood of man that she brings out. Perhaps you remember right that the first chapter on creation, Christianity as the word, she brings out that life is really the fatherhood of man, not the fatherhood of God. That we father the universe, that we give to the universe what God gives to the universe. And therefore, the method of life here is dominion. whereas the false method of life is not dominion. And therefore she compares those two methods, the false method and the true method. Here is the false method of life, of provision. She says, what is the false method? Namely, to give attention to hygiene. Can you see? To direct our thought to something that is wrong. By constant bathing and rubbing of the body. Again, by concentrating instead of God on the body. To be a devotee of supposed hygienic law. To be thoroughly booked in medical theories. Reading medical treatises. Can you see what that means? It means that our view is constantly focused on medical books, on diseases and medical books, so that we actually give to the universe the belief of medical theories instead of projecting into the universe the true method of life. What is the right method of providing the universe? She says, therefore, instead of all this giving attention to hygiene and medical books and medical laws and so on, give attention to the study of Christian Science. This is now constructive. Give attention to spiritualizing thought. Quite different than to read all the books on medicine and the articles on medicine in every paper and in every periodical that one can get hold of. It's that great point to leave, therefore, the body out of thought. Can you see, instead of giving all attention to the body, the right method is to leave the body out of thought, to be rather absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Take no thought for your body. Can you hear? All this is here now. Don't always think and talk about the body. Render to the body what? Pure. Render the body pure by what? By mind, capital M, and water. The exalting influence of the divine mind on the body is requisite. So you have the true method of how to look at the body, namely not to take any thought of the body, but to give the body just the same something, namely the divine mind, instead of all the various considerations of hygienic and medical beliefs. So in this way we father our body, and in this way we have dominion over the body, by giving to the body mind instead of hygienic theories and laws. She goes on to the subtone of truth. Our state of consciousness determines our state of health. You can hear here very clearly, it is truth, the state of consciousness. The dominion is that consciousness dominates our state of health. If our consciousness is a divine consciousness, then our body expresses real health. If our consciousness is an erroneous consciousness, then the body will not express health. But the point here is, interestingly enough, that she is not so much saying that an erroneous consciousness brings forth disease. Here she wants to bring out something else, which is heard all over the place, namely that a belief in health will also control the body and give him health. Even if that belief is wrong, it still will show that the body will be healthy. She takes that example, which you hear nowadays very often in the papers and in newspapers and so on. Sometimes a lifelong tobacco user tells you that smoking his pipe and so on preserves his health. And he says, you see, I'm already 95, and I've always smoked my pipe. Therefore, can you see that the pipe, smoking a pipe, is not really derogatory to my health? It really preserves. And you take a real good old gentleman, especially if he's a clergyman, he has a nice glass of red wine for every meal and says, you know, this is my medicine. That keeps me really alive. Every day with a meal, a good glass of wine, that does the trick. Or over in Europe, you know, a good small glass of cognac every evening keeps you really well, keeps your heart well. And the doctor said, take it. It does you good. And so they get old. And they say to all those who are not smoking and drinking, you die much earlier than we do. And that's their proof. And actually the statistics show, funny enough, you see, statics is always lie. Huh? That's the best way to tell a lie, by using statistics in the wrong way. And so the statistics actually show that if you take all people over 90, that most of them are either smoking or drinking alcohol, giving there a proof that it isn't so bad after all. Well, here she has to take up this argument, you see, and say, now, what is the truth about it? And Chauncey said, yes, it is actually so. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it is not the tobacco nor the glass of wine that keeps him going strong and wealthy, healthy for many years, but it is his belief in it that smoking and drinking will keep him alive. And so she says, this proves the illusive physical effect of a false belief. Therefore, also she must really show that we must have a real concept of health, that physical health, longevity by itself is no proof for the truth that the man entertains. Jesus would have been a disproof of all that, because he died with 30 or 33. He died very young. So he didn't prove very much health, did he? Well, he had a different concept of health. For him, physical health and living long years was no proof of knowing the truth. And so it is with anyone that really knows something about the real health and the real truth. He doesn't measure up the quality of his consciousness by the many years he lives. So anybody who would live longer than Mrs. Eddy would be a higher spiritual caliber, because they will prove that they live longer than Mrs. Eddy, or longer than Jesus. And so all these simple farmers there in the Caucasus, what do you call it in Russia, who usually live about 130, 135 years, and that becomes quite common there, they all must therefore be very spiritually minded that they live so long. Huh? They really must know the truth. But usually all what they know is just garlic and perhaps something else. So Mrs. Eddy says, all this doesn't really prove anything about my theory. It only proves that if you have a strong belief in something, that it works. But that does not really bring forth true health. True health. Physical health is not true health. Somebody may always be a bit on the feeble side, on the side of being susceptible to disease and so. I don't think we can call Mrs. Eddy very healthy, like a farmer was healthy. She always was rather susceptible to influences, but we can't say that she did not know anything about true health. She knew more about true health than anybody else, that had a very healthy constitution anyway, a belief that he is healthy, and therefore he has the belief that he will never get sick, and he lives all through his life with that belief that he will never get sick. So true health depends on something else than a belief in health. So the belief in health can dominate, but that's not true dominion. And actually what he wants to bring out as true health, we find then in the subtone of love, that true health depends solely on mind, capital M, and not on mind, small m, not on a belief that we entertain in our human mind. A belief in health is actually not dominion. Therefore, we should think sensibly well, not sensibly. See, so physical health is not true health. It's the insensible health that is true health. She says that the common notion is that health depends on inert matter, but matter cannot feel or act without mind. Therefore, we should see that health depends not on mind small m, but on mind capital M. See, correcting in this way that sentence that she used before, namely, that she said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, this is not a scientific statement. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, is not a scientific statement. It's a statement on the level of human belief, which says, if I believe that smoking and drinking keeps me well alive, and I believe very firmly in it, I may stay longer alive. That may be. But not as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The identity of man is not dependent on his thinking, what he's thinking. The identity of man is only dependent on the divine mind, what mind knows about man, only dependent on the power of the mind and of the infinite conception of mind. What mind, capital M, knows, that is man. And not what we think we are really makes us to be what we are. Well, that's really the tone of truth. And I just run through it again, summarizing so that we get some kind of sense of that dominion. We know that the sixth day of creation says that man was given dominion over all the earth. And Mrs. Eddy says, yes, truth gives man dominion over all the beliefs. But what is truth? Is truth just a term? And we can say, oh no, you know, truth is not truth if it does not reflect mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. Therefore, we can enlarge that sentence that truth has dominion over error and say, what kind of truth do we know? Therefore, we know the truth of mind. And therefore, at the point of mind, we begin to see that it is the intelligence of mind that has dominion over mortal belief, so that we have a whole sense of dominion of mind, the intelligence of mind, the wisdom of mind, the law of mind, having dominion over the so-called law of mortal mind. If we take that dominion from the standpoint of spirit, we begin to realize that only spirit has dominion, so that matter has no dominion, that we should not attribute to matter dominion like the natural scientists do. They say matter has power and matter dominates the whole universe. The whole universe runs down according to the laws of matter. If we go further to soul, we begin to see the dominion of soul is always that soul is superior to Therefore, it is the dominion of mind controlling, really, the body. The control of soul is now shown as mind controlling the body. And so we can rise above the body and have the dominion of soul by controlling through the divine mind the actions and functions of the body, as well as the functional disease, as the organic disease. Everything is controlled from the higher, governing the lower. At the point of principle, we have seen that dominion is the dominion of principle, which means the dominion of science, which is the dominion of metaphysical science. And therefore, the cry for metaphysics, it shows that instead of being the victim of the dominion of unseen beliefs, of unknown beliefs, we have to see that we can only master life by being consciously aware of the metaphysical dominion over beliefs. Therefore, the demand for the authority of metaphysics, of divine metaphysics. Bringing out really what? That it says, then use that divine metaphysics. Therefore, study God, study this science, devote your thoughts to the science. Don't devote your thoughts to the body. Take no thought for your body. And therefore, in no case, use that false method of trying to keep the body under control by controlling it with those false methods of hygienic law, hygienic prescription, of medical prescription, of reading medical books and medical articles, and seeing how through medicine we can control the body. At the point of truth, she shows, well, truth anyway controls, and therefore what you have to see is that it's always a state of consciousness that determines what kind of a health you have. If you have an erroneous consciousness, you have disease. If you have a belief in health, you have perhaps a belief of longevity. But if you have an understanding of health, then you have true health. And that true health is not a physical health, but it is a spiritual health. Therefore, at the point of love, she says, your only control, therefore, lies in getting away from all material thinking and all human thinking and putting everything under the control of the one mind. Then all will be controlled. You see, all, the universality and the all-inclusiveness, then all will be controlled by the divine mind, and nothing will be controlled anymore by mortal mind. So that's the tone of truth.